The New York Knicks have won four straight games and are just starting to hit their stride on this West Coast trip. We're talking Knicks hoops on this Friday night. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the convo.
Let's run that intro.
Basketball.
You're listening to the Knicks Nation podcast, where we've got all your Knicks needs covered.
Puts up a three. Bang! Bang! He ties the game.
Now, live from the city that never sleeps, here are your hosts, Anthony and Chris.
What's going on, Knicks Nation? We're back doing the Knicks Nation podcast. This is episode 87 of the Knicks Nation podcast. Didn't get a chance to do a podcast Sunday or Monday. We're doing it on Friday night. Of course, there'll be another one Sunday night. But look, Knicks are playing well. Decided to come on here and talk some Knicks hoops on this Friday evening. Appreciate every single one of you that will be tuning in and that are going to, you know, chime in with your questions as well. We always love that. Chris, what's going on? How are you?
Doing good, especially knowing that the Knicks seem to be figuring it out, man. You know, four games in a row, four dubs in a row. Love it. Love to see Mikal getting good open shots and knocking them down. And Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns, man. What can we say about that duo? I mean, I'm feeling good, Ant. How you doing tonight?
Feeling good. Friday night. Thanksgiving is next week, you know. Hopefully everyone spends time with your family and have some good times and watch some Knicks basketball. Look, Chris, four in a row, five out of the last six games. The Knicks are rolling right now. Offensively, they're absolutely cooking. And, you know, they're second in efficiency field goal percentage in the NBA. They have the second best offense, third in points per possession at 124.6. Their updated expected win total based on this efficiency is 57 wins now. Chris, I mean, it's clicking offensively. Defensively, we'll talk about that later. But right now we're talking about, you know, the offense. You know, just outscore everyone, you know. We'll worry about the defense later. But offensively, you know, Brunson seems to have found something in terms of, you know, I mean, he's being a floor general out there. Three straight games with 10 or more assists. Karl-Anthony Towns is the best center in the East, and he's just, boy, oh boy, man, he's amazing. Like,
yeah,
I have no words for him, honestly. I mean, we'll get into everything, but he's been amazing.
He's been playing out of his mind. Look, I knew he was good. Again, I didn't watch him all that much closely when he was in Minnesota, but yeah, he's cooking out there. What can I say, man? It's like, what? He's dropping basically like 30 a night pretty much, and it looks easy for him, you know? So shout out to Karl-Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson, man. Like you mentioned, that was one of the bigger things I think we said we wanted to see from JB is get those assist numbers up. And past three games, he's just been dishing the rock like crazy. So shout out to JB and Karl-Anthony Towns, man. Look at that graphic. Through 15 games, you got JB, 25.2 points, 7.3 assists, 2.9 rebounds, and Cat with 26.8 points, 12.2 rebounds, basically three assists, and shooting 50% from three. That's a hell of a duo right there.
50% from three, Chris. That is unheard of. And yeah. I think I have the stat here. It's not even on like 10 attempts. He's 37 of 74 from three. 50% from three. Absolutely incredible. Him and Jalen Brunson have, you know, found something. Right now they're averaging over 25 a game. And I think that would be the first time, if that were to hold up, that would be the first like guard and big man duo since I think I saw like Kobe and Shaq. I think I saw a graphic like that. Don't hold me to that. I think I saw that somewhere floating around. But look, all the talk about Jalen Brunson, his mid-range has improved. And obviously his passing, Chris. I mean, we came into the season thinking that Jalen Brunson could average close to 10 assists a game. And believe it or not, if he gets 10 or more, if he gets like 10 plus assists versus Utah, that'll be the first time in his career that he'll have 10 plus assists in four straight games. And I'm pretty sure he can do that. So yeah, he's seeing the floor extremely well, and he's limiting his turnovers, which is important. And the game versus Phoenix, he just torched them. He owns Phoenix, by the way. I don't know what it is in Phoenix. I don't know what's in the water over there. I don't know. Ever since the Western Conference Finals, or, you know, his matchup versus Booker, when him and Booker had that stare down, he just absolutely owns them. And, you know, our floor general Brunson is playing like an MVP. And when you combat that with, you know, Cat playing the way he's playing, and we'll get to the other guys as well, that is why this Knicks team is so dangerous offensively. And that is why they are the second best team in terms of offensive rating in the NBA. It only took 15 games to get there. And that's what gets me excited, Chris. It only took 15 games to get to the second best offense in the league. And we're missing guys.
Yeah. And it's early. So, look, I still think there's still a lot of untapped potential there with the entire starting five, you know. They're still figuring it out, but so far, so good, man. I mean, look, it was looking dicey in the beginning of the season. Obviously, guys trying to figure out where they fit. But I like how things are trending right now. Four straight wins. You got JB looking more and more like himself. You got Karl-Anthony Towns. He's having an impact on the game every single night. Karl-Anthony Towns is out there. So, you know, he might have some defensive shortcomings, but he's short. He makes up for it with the offense, man. He makes up for it with the offense. So I'm excited for it, man.
Yeah, and obviously we'll get to the defense. You know, we'll get to it. But, you know, I mean, we're feeling good right now. We're 9-6. And look, the defensively, look, they're, I think they're 22nd right now, Chris. And look, we're missing a couple of our defensive anchors. Obviously, Press is out. Mitch is out. Deuce is out. No excuses, but, you know, that's a major reason why the defense is kind of, you know, you want to get the defense kind of like 10 to 15 in the NBA, but 22nd right now is, you know, not where the Knicks want to be, and I'm sure Tom Thibodeau is not satisfied with that. But when you have such an elite offense like this, you know, your offense can overcome a lot. You know, you blew out the Suns, you blew out the Wizards. I mean, it's been ever since like the second half of that Bulls game, Chris, the Knicks have found something. And, you know, defensively, you know, it's all right. You know, it's all right. We'll get there.
Defense is definitely a work in progress, yeah, but we'll get to that. Like you said.
Yeah, we'll get there. Hit them up. Appreciate every single one of you in the chat. Subscribe if you haven't done so already. Come join us in here talking Knicks on this Friday evening. So many other things you could be doing, but thank you for giving us your time on this Friday evening. Chris and I are, you know, crazy about the Knicks, so we're home right now talking Knicks. But, yeah, I love it, man. It's just, you know, and, you know, so Cat and Brunson are playing at an extremely high level. Moving on to Josh Hart, Chris. I think Josh Hart has been a huge part of our success this season. He's having a career year. He's shooting 72%. For mid-range this season. That is insane. 18 of 25 for mid-range. Short mid-range, 70%. He's the best in the NBA. That's outside of 4 feet and inside of 14 feet. Chris, I mean, Josh Hart is having a career year. And, you know, I mean, obviously we had the quote from him in the preseason with him just looking lost and whatnot. But, you know, The play of Brunson and Cat is kind of like, I wouldn't say it's outshining Josh Hart's play, because OG and Obi has been playing well so far. But when you compile all of this together, is what I'm trying to say, Brunson, Cat, Hart, and an Obi Bridges would have been arranged. That's how you get to this offensive rating. And, you know, heart and soul of the city just keeps on doing it. And just, I love what I'm seeing from Hart. More of the same, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we heard all the rumblings to start, right? Josh Hart should be off the bench. He shouldn't be starting. We heard all that stuff.
Yeah.
Look, he's found his role in this starting unit, and it's exactly what I envisioned, you know? just bringing that energy, getting those loose balls, doing all the gritty stuff. And he has a knack to hit these clutch shots at the end of the shot clock or whenever you're just, you know, a broken play. You don't know what to do. Josh Hart just takes a turnaround jumper from the mid-range. And like you said, 70% of the time he's going to hit it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just think he's a perfect fit with these guys out there. You know, obviously with a lot of guys that can space the floor. You got Mikhail. You got OG, Jalen Brunson, and obviously Cat. I think Josh Hart fits perfectly. Being that one guy that, yeah, you want him to shoot threes better, sure. But I think he fits in perfectly being a guy who can, you know, score from the mid-range and kind of just push the pace for the other guys. So I think he's done a hell of a job, and you couldn't ask for a better start for Josh Hart's season in this starting unit, especially after he said, I'm feeling lost, maybe I should be on the bench and all that jazz.
Yeah, I mean, he's been awesome, man. Even, you know, defensively, he's been okay. The thing about Hart is, and like you said, the end of the shot clock stuff is kind of like nuts. I mean, the ball always finds him.
Always.
And
always.
It's like the Knicks know that. It's like Brunson knows that, like, all right, here, Josh Hart, just save us. All that. Like, don't let us get a shot clock violation. And he shoots it, he chucks it, and it's going in.
Yep.
It's even dating back to last year, he was doing that a lot too. And I don't know what it is, but hey, that's a part of Josh Hart's game that you can't really quantify, but you just love it. And the thing about Hart is, look, he has a 15% usage rate. And the reason why I bring that up is his assist to usage rate is at 1.29%. That is the best at his position. He's finding open Knicks and shooting so well from mid-range. So he's not turning the ball over, and the Knicks are finding him in the middle of the paint. They're using him a lot to kind of split the defense, and he is passing it to the corners, passing it to Anunoby, to cutting bridges, to a cutting Anunoby, obviously finding Brunson in his spots. The chemistry with Cat is starting to form. So, you know, Hart is just all over the place. You know, he's assisting well. He's shooting the mid-range well. He's rebounding well. And defensively, you know what he can bring. And, you know, another reason why I love Hart is his fast pace. I mean, he's grabbing rebounds and going. He's running. He's and the Knicks need more of that. I think the Knicks can be quicker. And obviously we'll talk about campaign. But, yeah, Josh Hart, 14 points, 8.5 rebounds, and 7 assists in his last 10 games for the New York Knicks. Heart and soul. Let's go.
Yeah. I need to cop me a Josh Hart jersey, man. I keep saying it. Haven't done it yet. I need to get me one because he's that important, man. He's part of the glue of this team.
I haven't gotten a Cat jersey yet. I haven't gotten a Hart jersey. I had a Randall jersey, you know. I had Brunson. I think I want an Anunoby jersey. A lot of jerseys I need. So what did you think of the – do you like the Blue City uniforms or the white ones that the Knicks are rocking?
So I was mixed when I saw the blue ones. When the blue ones first came out, I didn't know what to think about it. But when I got it in person, they're fire, so nice. Right? The white ones, I'm not sold on them, but I think it's another – I got to see it in person type of thing. But – I could see myself rocking it.
Yeah, something about the blue that I just gravitate towards. I'm trying to see if I can pull
nice,
up.
It's like a nice like royal blue. That's why. I mean, that's what I love about it.
Yeah, but the white ones are dope. But like you said, I haven't seen them in person, and I want to. This is the white ones that we're talking about. They're dope. You know why is that so big? All right, there we go. And it'll be grabbing the mic. Yeah, I think I like blue. I like hanging like blue better. I think these should be our like official home uniforms. And the blue ones should be the official road ones.
That would be dope.
Yeah.
I think I prefer it over like the statement ones.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. A little off topic, but I don't. Yeah. I don't rock with those statement wearing jerseys. I don't. No. Appreciate you guys in here. Mike Woods, what's going on? Appreciate you for becoming a member and staying a member of the Knicks Nation channel. Tony says, there's no way Hart goes to the bench when Mitch gets fully healthy. I think it will mess up the team chemistry. Mitch, I feel like we'll have to come off the bench rest of the year. You're thoughts. We'll get to that later on, Tony. I think Mitchell Robinson posted an Instagram post that has a little bit of a, you know, hint at as to when he is, when he wants to return for this New York Knicks team. And it is sooner than you think. So stay tuned for that. But yeah, Chris, offense is cooking. Talked about Hart. The thing about the Knicks offense, right, is the offense is the starting five is playing at such a high level offensively. And the Knicks, I think their bench scoring is, I think it's the worst in the NBA. I haven't looked at the updated stats. And that's the crazy thing. Like, you have this great starting five, and the bench still hasn't really given you much. Mm-hmm. And yet I say that, and Mr. Campaign is like, whoa, 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 whoa. I haven't given you much? Relax, Anthony. Chris Campaign is, ever since the second half of the Bulls game, when he got the Knicks back into that game, it's not only the scoring, it's the assist for Campaign. Energizer Bunny, you know, the Knicks bench, I know, missing pieces, man. Deuce, yeah. Precious, those are major pieces off that bench. And, you know, obviously Pat Coleman has come in here and give us some spot minutes. Kolek, we saw him last game. Jericho Sims has actually been solid these last couple of games. But yeah. Campaign, Chris. I love me some Campaign.
Campaign, man. That was a sneaky good pickup by the Knicks. I keep saying that because I didn't expect that much from him. Obviously, we all know what he did with Philly. And honestly, he's giving us exactly what we saw when he was with Philly, especially when he played against us in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Campaign, hitting timely shots, not scared to shoot the ball. Obviously, we've seen him chuck the ball up quite a bit the past few games, but now he's hitting them, right? Think he's like at a 40 something clip from three around there. Yeah, but most importantly, he gives Jalen Brunson some rest and he goes out there and he plays well and he's dishing the rock really well, not turning it over much. Campaign, he's been a hell of a pickup for us. And considering Deuce McBride is out, you know, with a sore knee and we're missing other guys, you know, on the defensive side of the ball. Campaign is coming clutch here for us.
Yeah, the Knicks are sprinkling him in with Cad and obviously Mikal with the chemistry from the Phoenix days, but Payne just plays fast, man. He grabs the ball, runs, and the Knicks need that. They need that player to come in and just play fast, just run, just go. And Payne is like, if he's open, he's shooting it. Like, he hasn't seen a shot he don't like, man. I mean, he's chucking that thing. And, you know, has the weird little shot, you know, that I've gotten used to. I've gotten used to his shot, but I mean,
I'm not used to that. That thing looks so awkward, man. So awkward. Especially when he's going over to his shooting side. Like, it just looks weird. But
it does. I mean, I think a few games ago, he had a step back three in the corner. And I was like, damn, man. I mean, look. He's considered a vet. He's 30 years old. I mean, he's 2 years older than Jalen Brunson. So it's like he's bounced around a lot. But, you know, you just see his value that the Knicks, you know, they value him. And, you know, I love his passion too. Like, that's the stuff you can't really like teach, is that fire, the passion, like. If he misses a shot, he's talking to himself. He's like going crazy. He's dancing. And I just love that, man. And I just love Campaign. And he's just been very impressive this season. Obviously, he got hurt with the hamstring. But, yeah. And, you know, as time goes on, the Knicks are just going to keep sprinkling him with Deuce and, you know, Precious. So it's just going to look even better. But, you know, 43% from three this year, like you said, Energizer Bunny. And he's not turning the ball over either. And like we said, the assists have been up for Payne. So, yeah.
Yeah. I like what I see from Campaign, man. And I think he also brings a little bit of that toughness that we've been missing, you know? You know, obviously, we with the trade, Karl-Anthony Towns trade, Julius Randle, Dante DiVincenzo, those are two guys that brought the toughness. You know, they brought that attitude, that grit. And I think Campaign fills that role a bit, you know, for us. So, I think that's another huge thing with Campaign. Gives us some of that, you know, that dog, right? Always fighting, always scrapping out there. never gives up. You know, he could probably shoot you out of a game here and there, but but so far he's been good for the Knicks, man. He's been the spark plug we need at this time.
Yes, man. Shout out to Campaign. Mike says he was at the game Wednesday. You can hear me screaming, get it up on Brunson's second three-point attempt. It was so hilarious watching it back. And then he says, we started chanting MVP when Brunson was at the line and the Suns fans started booing. It was a lot of fun. Glad you had fun in Phoenix. I got to make my way to Phoenix. We got to travel to these games, Chris. Like one of these years, maybe later this, we got to travel somewhere.
I would love to do that. Just follow the Knicks around to different arenas. Yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah, that would be dope too. Podcast on the go as well. Just be awesome.
Yes, sir.
Tony says Towns and Brunson definitely are a great duo. I feel Towns is making Brunson a better passer, and they feed off each other. Yeah. Look, Towns' numbers this year, like we put it on the screen, is crazy, man. I mean, 50% from three. He's grabbing, you know, his rebounds at a high rate, 12 rebounds, almost 27 points. And Brunson, even though Brunson had that, you know, bad stretch early on, Chris, you know, the Hawks game I keep going back to, but you know, it seems like he's kind of found something here. And, you know, that's all we want to see is, you know, momentum, you know, building moments from this Knicks team. And, you know, 4-game winning streak, 5-8 in your last six. You're starting to, you know, feel good about yourself, especially on this West Coast trip. You got one down. You got Utah coming up here. You know, Utah's a tough place to play, but it should be another winnable game, you know. And then you got Dallas without Luka. And then you have, obviously, Denver. And then you close it out with Charlotte. But, you know, feel good. This is why the winning streak at home was so important, because that carried over to the first game on the West Coast trip. But, yeah, Cat and Brunson, I think I saw something that they're not even in the top 10 on the latest NBA.com MVP route, MVP ladder. Cat needs to be on there. Like,
yeah,
he needs to be on there.
I can understand Brunson. You know, he has a bit of a slow start. Obviously, still figuring out, but looking more like himself. But Cat has done nothing but just score and play well all season long so far. So that's a shame.
The Knicks have two MVP candidates. Yes, sir. Look, Cat among Eastern Conference centers, first in points to game, points per game, first in rebounds, first in 3-pointers made. He is definitely an all-star this season. And look, Karl-Anthony Towns, man, I mean, you know, Chris, I know before the trade last year we didn't want him. I know a lot of people didn't want him.
We didn't want the contract.
It's been 15 games, right? And I'm here to tell you right now, I was wrong about Karl-Anthony Towns. I will take it on the chin. I was wrong.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say. He's been awesome.
The impact he's had is you cannot deny it. You cannot deny it. And what the Knicks are doing, look, I know it's still early. I know it's 4 games in a row. But the offense is just so good. And it's going to get better. They're still figuring this thing out, you know. I mean, we still got Mikal Bridges, who really hasn't really hit his stride yet in this offense. But Karl-Anthony Towns, he's been better than advertised, yeah. Way better than advertised, especially his fit into this Knicks squad. I think we had an idea of what we might get from Karl-Anthony Towns, but I don't think the efficiency that he's shooting the ball with and just his all-around game. You know, again, I keep going back to saying that he's an underrated passer. You know, I got heat for that, but you see the passes he's making out there. He's looking crazy out there. Just behind the head,
yep.
Like, yeah, come on. He's playing. He's definitely an all-star this season. And what more can you say about the man? He's taking care of business. He's doing exactly what the Knicks envisioned and probably more at this point in time.
And that's the thing that has been, you know, truly impressing me. Look, I think he's, you know, right now, he's I think he is averaging more assists per game than when Hartenstein was here. I know it's super early, but, you know, the Knicks are utilizing him pretty much how they did utilize Isaiah Hartenstein. And, you know, Cat, as soon as he palms that ball with one hand, he's going to find you. Behind-the-back stuff, thread-the-needle type of stuff, too. And it's not just Cat. I mean, the Knicks, that's another thing we haven't even touched on. I mean, the assist numbers. I think, what is it, three straight games, and the Knicks have 30-plus assists. That's the first time since I think the 90s, if I'm not mistaken. So they're sharing the ball, and that's, you know, why this Knicks offense looks so good right now is Brunson sharing the ball, Cat sharing the ball, and Anobi sharing the ball. Bridges is sharing the ball. So, yeah, everything is flowing. Let's get to Mikal Bridges, Chris. So Mikal Bridges, he's played better. The thing about Mikal, right, is the defense has kind of, you know, been – his, you know, I guess you would say the area that he's struggled in this year. And that's kind of taken us by surprise. But versus the Phoenix, he had a good moment on a steal, fast break, couple of games versus the Nets. Obviously, the game sealing block versus Brooklyn. And, you know, second game, I thought he played well in that game as well. And look, he's third in the NBA in minutes. He's played 573 minutes. Josh Hart is sixth, by the way. But Bridges is a mid-range assassin. The Knicks are using him a lot in terms of that mid-range jumper. I think I have a stat here with Bridges' fadeaways, too, if I'm not mistaken. Let me just put it on the screen. Yeah, so he's number one in the NBA in terms of his fade efficiency field goal percentage, 57.1%. He's taken 42 fades already. They track everything, by the way. I mean, they track the amount of dribbles, how many times you fade away, everything. So
crazy
that he's comfortable with that shot, though. You know, I know it's like, why are you fading away? But he's comfortable and he's making that shot at a high rate. So, yeah, Chris Bridges, you know, like, I don't know how you like when I speak about Mikal Bridges to like my friends or whatnot, they're like, you traded 5 first round picks for a 15 points per game score. And I'm like, dude, you got to watch the games. Like, it's. You got to watch the games. I know he's struggling defensively right now, but, you know, I'm not worried about what I'm seeing because obviously his offense has been there. His threes have started to creep up as well, but, yeah.
Well, that's the funny part about it, right, with Mikal Bridges. I mean, everybody's always going to go back to what we gave up to get him. But, again, I also feel like, you know, to make a trade with the Nets, you know, you have to give up a little bit extra. But we're always going to hear that, no matter what. And especially with the start he's had, you know. But the thing that takes me by surprise is his defense, you know. It just hasn't looked the way we expected it to. You figured it would be a little bit easier for him having OG Anunoby on the opposite side as well. But, you know, for whatever reason, he's having a tough time getting acclimated to the defensive role that he has. I mean, I don't know what it is, but I think it's getting better. Like you said, he's showing flashes here and there, getting some clutch steals, getting some clutch blocks, you know, but he still hasn't put it all together. And that's really what I'm waiting for, because that's when I think the Knicks will take off, especially defensively. But that's the biggest surprise for me when it comes to Mikal Bridges. You know, the offense, no matter how slow you start, I feel like that will always – you know, you'll end up back to your averages on the back of your card, you know,
yeah,
in my opinion. But his defense, that's what worries me a little bit, just because it hasn't been the Mikal Bridges that, you know, we've seen in the past in Brooklyn or even in Phoenix. So did he lose a step on that side, or is he just trying to get acclimated to, you know, having somebody like OG Anunoby on the opposite side? Or, you know, I don't know. It's tough to say.
It could be a mixture of things, you know. It could be that. It could be, you know, he's still fresh, 15 games in, but, you know, the Knicks have kind of used him in many different ways defensively. They put him on Booker for a little bit. They started Anunoby on Booker last game, and then they switched it for Mikal. And I'm trying to think. I know they put him on Trae Young versus that Hawks game for a little bit. And look, I think that area will improve because Bridges is a good player. Like, he's shooting 60% from mid-range this year. That's great. I mean, his efficiency field goal percentage is 56.8, 33% from three this year. I know from corner threes, he's 46%, though. It's kind of been like the longer threes that he's kind of struggling with. And those shots, you see those shots are usually short or they're long. You see a lot of top of the key threes that Mikal is shooting are short or long. And I think he's just trying to just get acclimated and things, but it's not like he's playing bad. I don't think he's playing bad. I just think he's a great complementary piece to everyone else. And as time goes on, I think that'll just improve, you know. But defensively, I want to see some improvement for sure on that end. And we have, you know.
Yeah.
That game-sealing block versus Brooklyn was a huge moment for him.
Yeah, especially from a confidence standpoint too. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's definitely going to, you know, carry over. And I think he's going to improve. I don't think he's going to go and just stay like this the entire season. I know he's going to improve eventually. And the one thing I do like, even though, you know, like you said, he's having issues hitting threes from anything but the corners, it seems. But I like that he's still taking his shots, you know. He's not hesitating. He's pulling up for three or he's taking his faders. And I think that's important. You know, because like I always said with Josh Hart, you got to take your shots and make the defense honor you, even if you miss them. So with Mikal Bridges, look, we have enough scorers on this team, especially with the way OG Anunoby has been playing offensively, man. You know, we have enough scoring on this team where it's okay if you don't score 20 points. We'll take 15 from Mikal, you know, but I would love to see more on the defensive end from him.
Speaking about Anunoby, Chris, this dude falls on the floor like 10 times a game.
I hate it. It makes me so nervous.
The last game versus Phoenix, sometimes I have to feel like he does it on purpose just to like get a reaction out of the fans, but he's on the floor like 10 times a game.
Do you think that's the way he tries to draw fouls? You know, he's just like, hey, I fell.
I don't think so. It's most of the time when like around the rim stuff, when he's going up, he just falls on the floor. But yeah, I mean, I'm just like, whoa. I mean, there was a scare last game with his elbow. His elbow got caught on the screen, and I was like, man. Whoa. Let's not do that. But yeah, Anunoby is just having an amazing season as well. And the thing is, you know, his usage rate. Let me just pull up his usage rate really quick. It's only 16.3% usage rate for OG Anunoby, and he's being efficient. His mid-range is awesome. His threes are awesome. Obviously, his defensive numbers on off court are awesome. So, yeah, I mean, he's as advertised, man. I mean, you know, yeah. Obviously, we knew the profile when we acquired him. The record now, you know, is absolutely incredible since we acquired him. And, you know, I think both teams are kind of liking that deal. RJ Barrett is kind of balling out in Toronto right now. Yeah. So, you know, happy for Barrett when he's balling out right now. But the Knicks are, you know, reaping the benefits of OG Anunoby.
Yeah. We thought we were going to see OG Anunoby be more aggressive this season offensively, and he's showed it, man. Yeah. Pull-up jumpers, dunking left and right. Obviously, the three-point shots have been there, but it's the way he's attacking. He's not hesitating anymore. He's taking the ball, and he's just looking to score. And I love that from OG Anunoby because I felt last season, you know, he looked a little bit awkward trying to, you know, score. But this season, he's looking better and better, man. So you pair that with his elite defense, and what more could you ask from that man, you know? I think that was money well spent by the New York Knicks.
And Kat is the guys are starting to form chemistry too. I think Kat just posted something on his IG, posting a funny OG Anunoby picture. I think Kat was quoted saying the scouting report didn't say how funny OG Anunoby was. So, you know, 5-game road trip, those guys are probably together just, you know, laughing it up and whatnot. And that's good for a newly team trying to get acclimated with one another. And, you know, Utah coming up. I mean, it's another winnable game for this Knicks team. But appreciate every single one of you guys in here tuning in on this Friday evening, talking Knicks basketball. Got a poll in the YouTube chat. After 15 games, do you think the Knicks have finally figured it out? Remember last podcast, Chris, we were kind of, the mood was kind of like gloomy. We were like, Mikal wasn't playing well. The Knicks were reeling. It was still early, but, you know, Now we sort of hit our stride. Yes is at 44%. Still worried about the defense is at 31%. Not yet. It's still early is at 24%. So if you haven't voted on that, make sure to get a vote. What do you think, Chris? You think the Knicks finally figured it out?
I'm going to say not yet, just because I feel like they can get better. I know they'll get better, but they've definitely figured something out. That's for sure. And like you said, I think it came from that Chicago game where we were just getting beaten down and made that crazy comeback and almost stole that game, had that ball dropped at that buzzer. But yeah, man, you know, four-game win streak.
Knicks can easily be like 11 and what is this, 5 right now or something like that, 11 and 4.
But we could be on a 6-game win streak, you know, if that ball would have dropped in Chicago.
The NBA, you know, I'm not complaining. I sort of fall in the boat with like, I'm excited. Look, it's 15 games and you have an elite offense already, but it is early. And defensively, you still got things to clean up. But, you know, that could just be defensively, Chris. It could just be waiting to get healthy with Precious and Deuce and Mitch coming back in December. It could just be that, you know. And I know, like, how can you change this starting five right now when Mitchell Robinson comes back? Like, I know that's been like a talk that we've kind of like bantered back and forth with, is when Mitch comes back, do you change the starting five? But it's like, at this point, if this keeps up, like, how can you kind of mess this up?
Yeah.
But having Mitch and Precious and Deuce off that bench, that's going to help you out defensively. You know, it is.
Yeah.
So
I think when you get those guys back, and I personally don't think Mitch is going to start. You know, he doesn't have to start, really, if you think about it. I think you leave the starting five as is, and you plug in Mitch maybe when Towns comes off, you know, for a bit, and then eventually maybe you find yourself in a situation where you get Mitch and Towns in there, you know, kind of similar to what Minnesota did with Gobert and Towns. Yeah. So I could see us doing something like that, but not necessarily that being the starting, you know, four and five per se. But yeah, man, I think once we get obviously Precious and we get Deuce McBride back and then Mitchell Robinson, that's definitely going to boost our defensive numbers for sure. I mean, Mitch himself, right? We get that rim protector back, guy who can alter shots just by being out there and being close to a shooter. You know, I think that's going to be huge for us, especially on the defensive and offensive glass as well.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously you can tinker with different lineups, but I truly do think, like, if the Knicks can get to, like, I don't know, what are they, 22nd in the NBA in terms of defensive rating, and they're second in terms of offensive rating. If the Knicks can be a top three offense in this league, and I think they can't obtain that and stay that way. I think if they can get to like 8 or 9 or like maybe not even top 10, like 11 or 12 defensively in the NBA when everyone's back, I think we'll be fine. I do. But I do think Precious is huge for us defensively. And look, guys in the starting lineup have to be better too. Look, Bridges has to be better, but you know, I think once Precious comes back, you can kind of mix and match alignments with Bridges, and that'll, like, obviously, you know, the defensive numbers would improve. But I think it could just be that, and I know that's like the lazy cop out. Like, defensively, we're just gonna have to wait till the guys get back, and we'll be better. But sometimes, I mean, it that's what it is, right? But
yeah, I mean, it could be that. Am I still shocked that, you know, with OG Anunoby, Mikal Bridges, you know, we're at the 22nd defense? Yeah, hell yeah, I am. I thought we'd see
Wingy Hutt Jr.
Crazy. But, you know, hey, you know, just the same way the offense is going to take time to click, so is the defense. And whether that's because you're missing players or not, obviously that's going to disrupt things. But at the same time, you got good enough players out there that I'm sure they're going to figure it out one way or the other. So, you know, I think it's still a waiting game on that side of the ball as well.
Yeah, likewise. Hit some of these comments, catch up on these comments. Amanda says, love the orange hat. Loves your hat, Chris.
Appreciate it.
Let's go, Knicks. Pacers are getting smacked by the Bucks right now. Love to hear that. yes, on offense, it takes time for defense to chemistry, too. Yeah, the offense is always going to be ahead of the defense. And coming into the summer, were we excited? Like, the wing stop. We're going to have two of the best wing defenders in the NBA. And it always playing that way. Bridges has had his moments this year. But, it just hasn't been, what we envisioned, but it's still early, and not saying we can't ever get to that point, but, I think Bridges will improve. It's November. I think he will improve because, some of the defensive numbers with him on and off the court, they're improving from last time we were on here, Chris. They're improving, but they still need improvement on that end. But
yeah, absolutely. And then I think it's easy to also forget, he's coming from Brooklyn where he was the man. And maybe he wasn't asked to defend at the level he was defending at, in the past. So yeah. I think that's also another adjustment for Mikhail's that, not too many people think about.
Wild Boy Trey says, don't mess with the starting five. That defeats the purpose of the trade. This offense is on a historic pace. Don't mess with the starting five. Yeah. I was an advocate for starting Mitch, but, things change. And when the Knicks are playing offense like this, it's like you can't mess it up. You really can't. Not saying you can't close lineups with Mitch and Cat. You can't figure out lineups like that. Then they will. But, yeah, you can't mess this up right now.
No, you can't. You can, and I was on the same boat. I was like, I don't see Cat as a five. He doesn't protect the rim, and he does an okay job. It's not like he's not trying to protect the rim or anything like that. But for whatever reason, it doesn't go well for him. But I agree, the way the offense has been rolling with Cat and Jalen Brunson at the forefront, you cannot mess with that, unless it falls off a cliff or something. And the production just dips way low. You can't touch that starting unit right now.
John says Mitch definitely coming off the bench, and I bet he plays 15 to 20 minutes, and they start slowly get him back to be full time before the playoffs. Yeah, that's the goal for Mitchell Robinson. That is the goal. Once again, I think Mitchell Robinson posted a Christmas list. I think we could touch on this right now, Chris, that I thought was interesting on his time frame. Where is this Christmas list? All right, so this is Mitchell Robinson's Christmas list. all I'm concerned about is he says, start playing by Christmas, I hope. So it was – the timetable was January, but he's traveling with the team. He's, shooting. Tom Thibodeau still says he has a long way to go. But his Christmas wish list is he hopes to be back by Christmas. That would be a Christmas gift to Knicks fans for sure.
Yeah. I mean, look, that'd be amazing if he was back by Christmas. I mean, I think that'd be best case scenario, right? I mean, obviously we don't want him to rush. We want him to be 100%, but that'd be something. I'm dying to see what this team would look like with Mitchell Robinson out there.
I'm just looking at this list. I'm just
I saw a goldfish and I was starting to crack up.
A fishing pole. Okay. Megan Marani shirt, camel overalls, goldfish.
A horse or cow mini.
Mitch is hilarious, man. Camel Crocs, flannel shirt. He's hilarious, man. But yeah, that's all we worry about. By Christmas, hopefully Mitchell Robinson can get back on the courts. All right. Harlem World says Bridges is a Knicks Iron Man until further notice. Yeah, man. What is he? Yeah. Look, he's third in the NBA minutes, 573 minutes played. Iron Man for sure. Doesn't necessarily mean you have to play him that many minutes. Yeah. But, what we've seen is, Jericho Sims, Chris, I mean, let's give him his, props. I posted a Huck Porty video. I wanted to see Huck Porty. I still do want to see Huck Porty, but Sims is coming in there, giving the Knicks some valued minutes. Bigger, like big body. He's rebounding the ball well. Offensive rebounds have been great. Even seeing some highlight packages from Mr. Sims. Yes. So that's what we wanted to see from Jericho, right?
Yeah. That's being more aggressive. He's being more aggressive. And because of him being aggressive, the guys are actually passing him the ball.
Yeah.
You know, he's actually running and sprinting towards the rim. Guys are finding him for lobs now. He's getting some dunks. And it's good to see, man. That's what we've been waiting to see. You know, we see the Jericho Sims training videos, shooting turnaround jumpers, things of that nature. Man, get out there and command the ball in some situations, you know? So it's nice to see Jericho have some success out there. And honestly, I thank Huck Porty for that. Because I know Huck Porty went out there, you know, he showed some flashes, and Jericho Sims had to be like, oh man, I'm gonna lose my job.
Yep.
All right, let me go out there and let me change things up real quick. And he's been playing better. And I want to see that continue. Because if, you know, who knows when Precious is going to come back. But if Sims plays like that, you know, we could live with it.
And I love that, you know. Huck Porty came in and Jericho lit a fire under him, you know. Knicks went back to him. They trusted him. And he's played well since the Huck Porty game. And that's all we want, man. That's all we wanted to see. And it's either way, Huck Porty, Sims, it's good. It's still good. It's a good problem to have. Obviously, when Precious comes back, those Sims minutes will probably lessen. Or maybe if he even plays, maybe 5-7 minutes a game. But that's what we want to see is improvement. And, you know, Huck Porty has played well. Daddy A, Chris, he didn't play. So Thibs didn't go to him versus Phoenix. But, you know, the prior games versus Brooklyn, he's coming in. He's shooting his shots. He's making his threes. Once again, he's only 19. I know he's played professional ball overseas, but he's still a teenager, still learning, still needs to get stronger. Loving what I'm seeing from him. And I didn't even think he was going to play, man. I mean, we did a preview for him, and we were like, before the season, like a player preview, and we were just like, if he plays, we just want to see growth, and we don't know if Thibs will go to him. But, you know, ever since that game versus, what was it? I think it was the Hawks, where the Knicks blew that lead in the last 2 minutes. And everyone was like, they need to expand the rotations. Yeah. Thibs went to Matt Ryan. Didn't work out. Then he went to Daddy A, Porty a little bit. Seeing Kolek in spurts. So, Daddy A. Yeah. Love that guy.
Daddy, he looks good. I like his shooting touch, man. That's one thing that I will say, the kid could shoot the ball. He has a really nice jumper. I think that's just going to translate throughout his career no matter what. But for me, it's will his defense become, you know, elite? You know, he has a chance to be one of those really good wing defenders, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, look, the kid is young. He's 19, right? 19 years old.
19, bro.
So for him to even be out there on the floor, let alone Tom Thibodeau be your coach, I think that's great. You know, but, you know, a question I do have as far as, like you said, we've seen some Kolek, some Huck Porty, some Daddy A out there. You know, ever since Tibbs kind of got under scrutiny for playing, you know, 7-8-man rotation, do you attribute Tibbs opening up the roster a bit to the Knicks going on this little winning streak?
I do. It has to. I do. I truly do. Because the Knicks were gassed in these fourth quarters.
Yep. Yep.
You know, and a lot of these losses, fourth quarters, they were gassed. Like, and, you know, somebody got the Thibs. I don't know if it's one of the players, one of the front office, but it was November, like beginning of November, and he was only playing like really 7 guys. Yeah. And everyone was like, this is crazy. You know, you got to expand the rotations. And, you know, he did. And I do attribute that, you know, look, Bridges is still, what, 5th in the NBA in minutes, but, you know, these things matter. Like, every minute you can have Brunson on the bench for, every minute you can have Ananobi just resting on the bench are important, you know? It's another minute that, you know, these guys are resting, and, you know, it limits injuries too. It's a long season, still super long, 15 games in, but, yeah, love that.
Yeah. I agree. I think they look a bit fresher, you know, especially in the fourth quarter. You know, guys get a little bit of extra rest, and then they're ready to close the game out. So I think so. I think, obviously, letting the rooks play a bit. Obviously, they're going to make mistakes. You're going to lose a lead here and there, you know. Big leads are going to be get whittled down, unfortunately. But, you know, at the same time, you're giving these guys valuable minutes so they can learn and be prepared down the road. So I feel like it's a win-win, especially when you come away with the dub. But yeah, man, I think once we get a few pieces back, Precious, you know, Mitch around the corner, it seems, you know, I think we'll be in great shape.
Yes, sir. 81 people in here. Appreciate every single one of you tuning in on this Friday night. Smash the like button. 21 likes. Let's get that up to, you know, 40 likes. Let's get that like button. Smash the like button. Appreciate every single one of you in here. Subscribe if you haven't done so already. If you're on the audio side, if you're listening to this later on, please leave us a review. It helps us out over there. We're on Apple, Spotify as well. Talking Knicks on this Friday evening. Knicks are rolling. 4 straight wins. 5 out of the last 6 games. Things are clicking. Players are playing well, and the offense is absolutely on fire and fuego. So Mike says, have you guys heard about the Brunson versus Royce O'Neal beef? Apparently they have been going at it since Brunson did Utah dirty in the playoffs, and Royce was on that team. Yeah, Royce O'Neal shoved Jalen Brunson last game, and I saw a highlight of him doing the same thing a few years ago to Brunson. So those two seem to have some type of beef, and I don't understand it, but, you know.
Yeah. You know what was funny? After he shoved him, Brunson went at him 3 straight possessions, and I think cooked him each one, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. But, yeah, you keep doing that, Royce. You know, light a fire on the Brunson. Yeah, it's not going to be good for you.
Keep messing with Jalen Brunson. I mean, I don't know why people test him, because that, like, once you poke the bear.
Yeah. He's a competitor, man. You know he's gonna go. He's gonna go after you. He's not gonna back down.
Yeah, don't do that, man. It's night night, and he torched him all game. So yeah, we did notice that on Mike. All right, Chris. So we touched on pretty much the bench, the injury update. Precious is supposedly joining the team soon. Maybe in the next couple of games, that will be. You know, that would be really, really, the Knicks really need his defense, and they've been missing him, and that will boost to the bench. Update on this poll, 55 votes. Do you think the Knicks have finally figured it out? Yes, at 42%, still worried about the defense at 35%, and not yet, it's still early at 24%. So, you know, it's not, nothing's running away here, and I think it's a fair concern, the defense, you know, it's, you know, we're scoring a lot, 130 points. I mean, seems like every game here, 130 points. So offense is just cooking. We're just outscoring teams at an extremely high rate. And, you know, we talked about the defense. We think it will get better. And, you know, time will tell, though. Time will tell.
I think it's also a shock, too. We've got so used to having gritty defensive teams that are always, you know, top 10 defensively, especially the past few years. So it's kind of weird to be, you know, in the 20s and the 22. So I think it will get better. Who knows if we're ever cracked the top 10. But like you mentioned earlier, I think if the Knicks get, you know, top 15 and you pair that with, you know, a top 3 offense, I think we'd be good. You know, you trade a bit of the defense for more offense. And if we're outscoring the opponent, hey, that's what wins you the game, right?
Yeah, yeah. CM says, where's our guys to protect Captain Jalen Brunson? I don't think they saw that. You know, I think it was just the play where Royce hit Brunson on the floor. It was like it was in the corner. It was a fast break, so the guys were worried about the ball handler. So I don't think they saw that. But, you know, the guys will rally around him, and I'm not worried about that. You know, we get Precious when he comes back. Cat, you know, OG Anunoby. The Nets try to test Anunoby too. What's his name? Try to test him.
Forgot his name,
but he's been in a lot of trade rumors. Try to test Anunoby. It's all right.
Yeah.
Look, man, we love that. I love that stuff, man. You know, it's it's the Garden. It brings you back to kind of like the 90s, and it's the toughness, and I love that stuff, you know. And that just wakes the Knicks up too, especially JB.
So I feel like that's the worst thing you could do to a competitor, you know, just give them a reason to be fired up and motivation to want to go and beat you, right?
Yeah.
Why even do that?
Exactly. You know, and hey, the play where it gets too far is that Embiid play on Mitchell Robinson. That's where it got too far.
Yeah,
it's always F Embiid. You know, it's always
F. Well, Embiid. We saw Embiid recently, and he was up to his antics right off the jump. Right, so flopping on the ground. You know, it's getting old with Embiid, man. Such a good player, man, to have to resort to that.
Yeah.
And they call JB a foul hunter, right?
Yeah.
And enough about him, Embiid. I don't want to talk about him.
Mike says Dibs out here running the D'Antoni playbook. Yeah, man. Man, all right. Where's BK? D'Antoni
was the Knicks coach back in the day.
Yeah. Look, offensively, the Knicks are rolling, man. You know? Wiz BKLA says, did you or would you address the Dante trade rumors? So there was a trade rumor on X. This guy has – the thing about this reporter, I forgot his name. I'll try to get it in a second. But he reported that apparently Dante is not really happy with his role right now in Minnesota. And that trade is – I mean, right now – I would say the Knicks won that trade because the Timberwolves, they just can't coming off a bad look. I'm not like, this is not a trade comparison segment. I'm just saying like Dante DiVincenzo. So hold on. All right. So I'm like rambling all over. So this is from Brett Siegel. Dante DiVincenzo is being viewed as a possible trade candidate. Let me just put this in the screen so you guys can see it. Let me just get this up. Sorry. Here it is. For several contending teams around the league, sources says, while the Timberwolves valued Dante's skill set, the 27-year-old combo guard was not thrilled with the idea of coming off the bench after being traded. So he's struggling right now in Minnesota. You know, it's going to take those guys some time right now. You saw the Rando pass to Gobert night. Those two are kind of feuding. So you know, it's going to take them some time. They're healthy though. I mean, I know they've missed Conley a couple of games, but the thing about them is they're healthy. They haven't dealt with injuries like the Knicks. So Dante's coming in off the bench. He's not shooting the three well. But the thing about that is the New York Knicks cannot trade for Dante DiVincenzo until the summertime. So it would be cool to have a full circle moment. You trade him to Minnesota and you get him back if you can get him back, but you can't trade for him until the summertime. So
that would be crazy if we end up somehow with Dante back on the Knicks. But I find it kind of crazy that he's not, you know, the preseason Dante was lighting it up for the Wolves. And, you know, granted, I guess did he start most of those games in the preseason? I can't remember, but
I don't think so.
You figure it's still coming off the bench. He'd still have an impact, but it hasn't worked out yet. But it's still early there, right? Still early. And the Rando and Gobert thing, I did see that. And, oh, man. To already see that type of body language from Julius Rando out there kind of sucks. But, you know, I think those guys will figure it out. I think they'll figure it out. I don't want to wish bad on Julius or Dante. Yeah. You know. But, man, I'm happy with Kat. I'll tell you that much.
That's it, man. I mean, I'm happy. I'm super happy with Kat. You know, it's – And look, it's 15 games, but like, I mean, wait, I mean, he's literally amazing. He's awesome. 50% from three this year. I'm happy with Kat. Look, you know, things take time, but you know, yeah, I mean, that's why the Knicks felt comfortable in making that deal. So we cannot, pretty sure we can't trade for Dante until the summertime next year and next summer. And yeah, so that rumor came about and I don't know. I was just like, everything Dante says is he loves his time in Minnesota, but, you know, I don't know. Yeah. It's the NBA. anything.
I mean, it would be dope if somehow we could get Dante back, you know, full circle. That'd be amazing. Because I still think he was the perfect fit on this team. Like, his style of play just fits us perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah. Later down the line, if that were to ever happen, that'll be pretty cool. Somebody said it's like he's missing his friends out there in Minnesota. the friendships that he's missing. So we'll see.
I believe it.
We'll see. But like you said, I'm happy with Cat, man. I'm happy with Cat. That's their issues that they got to figure out. All right, Chris, trivia.
Let's do it.
Let's get to trivia. Those of you just joining, every single podcast we do a trivia on the Knicks Nation podcast episode. Where's the music? All right, there we go.
There it goes. All right, and so as you see on the screen, who leads the Knicks with the most offensive rebounds on the team? Is it A, Mikal Bridges? B, Karl-Anthony Towns? C, Jericho Sims? Or D, OG Anunoby? Most offensive rebounds on the team. I guess I'll say this season, just to make it clear.
Who leads the Knicks with the most offensive rebounds on the team this year? Don't think it's Mikal Bridges. Don't think it's OG Anunoby, although his rebounding has improved these last couple of games. So it's between Karl-Anthony Towns and Jericho Sims, in my opinion. And I feel like this is kind of like a trick question. So, man, you know what? This seems like a layup. I know you asked me a question last year that was such a layup, and I just picked the wrong answer. And I was like, of course it was. I think it was Brunson was the answer. Something is gravitating me towards Jericho Sims. But this is total or per game?
Just total offensive rebounds.
Okay.
Number of offensive rebounds so far. So not percentages.
Not percentages. Man, you know what? I'm gonna look like an idiot, or I'm gonna look like a genius. But I'm going with my gut. I'm gonna say Jericho Sims. C.
Final answer.
Final answer.
All right, let's go through the list. OG Anunoby thus far, 16 offensive rebounds in 15 games for the Knicks. Let's jump up to Mikal Bridges. 18 offensive rebounds so far in 15 games. Jericho Sims, 23 offensive rebounds in 15 games. Karl-Anthony Towns in 14 games with 39 offensive rebounds. See,
I knew it was Cat, man.
You overthought it, man. It was a layup.
I got to stop overthinking these questions, man.
I'm not trying to trick you every time, man.
It was a layup. Cat has played more minutes. Jericho has improved his offensive rebounds. But
I even left out Josh Hart, who's actually second with 26 offensive rebounds for the Knicks.
Yeah. I knew it. It was the same thing last year where you asked me a Brunson question. It was a layup. And I just went the other way just because I thought you were asking me a trick question. But nah, Cat has been improving. You know, there was a sequence, I think it was versus Brooklyn, where he just looked like Isaiah Hartenstein. He just went up and grabbed the offensive rebound, and he's been improving in that area. So gotta I love Big Cat. Been playing well.
Talk about iHeart. Did you see the passes he was dishing the other night behind the back? Yeah, yeah. You know, trying to, he was doing his cat impersonation.
Nick Yak says Sims 10 minutes a game, Cat 34 minutes. Yeah, look, I'm an idiot. I got it wrong. I was thinking too much. I knew it was
That's Cat, legit. Car Anthony Towns, obviously, 33 minutes per game, yeah. And Jericho is at 13.8. So, I mean, hey, that's a pretty – that's not bad for Jericho in that limited amount of minutes.
The thing is, Jericho in his time has been good in terms of offensive rebounds. So,
yeah,
I was thinking too much, but
you'll get him next time.
Get him next time. Get him next time. All right, Chris, anything else? You want to touch on this Rick Brunson thing? The Knicks are being investigated by the NBA, by Rick, for Rick Brunson. Yeah,
let's get into that. You want to spill the tea on the Rick Brunson?
Let me just try to pull up an article. So we'll touch on this quickly. A couple of Knicks news. So this is from Ian Begley. He says, the NBA has contacted the Knicks recently about the promotion of assistant coach Rick Brunson and whether it violates league calorie cap rules, SNY has learned. The inquiry is ongoing. The Knicks Monday night called the NBA's questioning of the matter, quote, harassment and, quote, offensive. In response to that rumored NBA investigation, let me just... can you see that?
Yeah.
Brunson took Johnny Bryant's place and assumed the same salary as Bryant. It's offensive that anyone would claim Rick didn't deserve the promotion. MSG Sports said in a statement, Rick has done a tremendous job and will continue to do so. We see this as more of harassment of the Knicks due to our opposition to certain NBA matters.
Yeah, that sucks. That sucks. Do you think this is, the league trying to get payback for the Knicks kind of getting creative and getting Karl Anthony Towns, Mikal Bridges, you know, all that contract stuff? Who knows?
The funny thing is, we were joking about this.
Yeah.
When Brunson took that discount,
we were like, yo, they probably slipped, Rick the rest of the contract. But I didn't think that's why it shocked me when I saw this. When I saw this out there, I was like, wow, did something actually happen? Or is this just, you know, some weird allegation? But
Coach ES says it best, the NBA hates us. This doesn't even make sense. Dolan should sue them. Nicky Ack says they think Rick is overpaid for his son. They mad. Look.
The funny thing is, I think Adam Silver is actually a Knicks fan. But maybe this is his way of hiding it.
Look, this is, in my opinion, this is a nothing burger. Like, this is just them trying to try to find anything. But Johnny Bryant took the Cavs job. It's not like the Knicks sent Johnny Bryant home packing. And they were like, dude, peace. Like, we don't want you anymore. Johnny Bryant took that Cavs job on his own to, you know, coach his friend and Donovan Mitchell. And the Knicks just slid Rick Brunson in his salary role. And I think the Knicks have every right to call this a harassment, because even Brunson has said it, that his dad has earned the right for the promotion. And we've seen a couple of times this year, Rick Brunson has taken that Bryant role, whispering in Thibs ear in terms of substitutions and whatnot. So I just think ever since the Knicks signed Jalen Brunson a couple of years ago and they got him for tampering, dude, it's his dad, man. I just think that's mainly what it is. If it was Rick, I don't know, make up a last name, Rick, my last name, Isaacs, I don't think this would be happening. But since it's Rick Brunson, the NBA thinks that the Knicks have some inner works going on behind the scenes. And I don't think they're going to find anything from this, but.
Yeah, I don't think it holds any weight. And I mean, it's not like Rick Brunson hasn't been an assistant coach in other places, you know, obviously Dallas, and he had many other spots as well. So, I mean, for them to basically say, hey, you just, you know, giving favor to some guy or just throwing him money, that's kind of crazy, man.
Yeah, I think it's stupid. I think it's stupid. Yeah. Like, when I saw this, I was like, is this really a story right now? Like, I just feel like they always try to find something to
yeah, it's to put us in bad light.
Yeah, it's.
But not only that, I thought that I thought you could pay coaches whatever you wanted. I thought that didn't hit, you know, that didn't attribute to the cap or anything like that when it comes to the team itself. So it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird.
I think that's the case. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's the case. Remember, we joke, like I said, we were joking about it. Like, yeah. Brunson took that discount, give Rick Brunson like $50 million on the side. And yep. Maybe the NBA thinks that's what's happening. But
I guess they heard us. They were like, maybe they're onto something there.
Damn. But yeah. Knicks are saying this, calling this harassment. Very strong language from the Knicks regarding this. So. He also says in the article, it's worth noting that Rick Brunson's new contract is within industry standards for top assistant coaches. So, I don't know.
Hey, amen. Yeah. I mean, look, he's Jalen Brunson's father, obviously, you know, that's one thing. But it's not like the man hasn't earned his, you know, he hasn't worked to get where he's at.
I think there's a Nick hater in the NBA office that hates
things. Think so? Oh, man.
I'm not saying it's – I don't think it's Silver. I think it's one of his assistant buddies that are in the office that are – they hate the Knicks. And, you know, they hate that we, you know, made the cat trade. They hate that we found that loophole in the new CBA. They hate that.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, and they want to get us for something. Yeah. You know, it's petty. I think they hate – the fact that the Knicks are doing all of this, they're being savvy. They're not giving us credit for anything, nor that they have to. I'm not saying that they have to, but I just think it's someone in the NBA offices that are digging and try to find something, and they're petty.
It's wild.
Yeah.
I don't like it, but hopefully it doesn't become anything bigger than what it is already.
Yeah, that's why you see the NBA referees
That's why the whistle. I don't even want to talk about the rest. Yes.
Yo, Rick Brunson got a technical foul for being on the court versus the Suns. And it's like,
meanwhile, the players be like way off the bench getting on the court.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
I felt like that was ticky tacky.
Yeah. Nick Yak says, I'm upset they think Brunson took less and dad is getting more. But that's exactly what is happening a little. This Rover says, can't get a foul called for us. Can't even have your own family as a coach. They don't want to see New York succeed. Yeah. I wouldn't say they don't want to see us succeed. I just think it's someone in the offices that are extremely – they hate either Dolan or they hate someone in the Knicks front office. And the loophole that they found in the trade for Cat, I just think that ruffles some feathers. And
I think so too.
Yeah. It is what it is. Keep hating. Keep hating. I love it. Keep hating. We love haters. All right, Chris. That's our little rant about that. Knicks Jazz. Go beat the Jazz. Go beat the Jazz.
Keep the streak alive.
Keep the streak alive. Let's go
get
Knicks.
Five in a row. I know we could do it. It's not going to be a layup, but, you know. I'm pretty confident with the way the offense has been rolling lately. I think the Knicks get this dub.
Yeah, I think we do too. And then we just go from there. Appreciate every single one of you that joined us here tonight on this Friday evening. This is episode 87 of the Knicks Nation podcast. Appreciate every single one of you. I'm Anthony from Knicks Nation.
I'm Chris.
Catch you guys next time. Peace.
Peace.
Thanks for listening. Please hit that follow button to stay updated with our latest episodes. And we also greatly appreciate those 5-star reviews. For you video enthusiasts out there, head over to our YouTube channel to catch the podcast in video form. YouTube.com/KnicksNation. You'll find all the relevant links conveniently listed in the show notes below. See you next time.